That was good timing.
Good morning, Evanston Avenue. I'm Tina.
And I'm Keith.
Keith, why do you look like you're ready for dinner? We're doing announcements.
Because I am ready for dinner. Today is the family supper and next step taco dinner.
That's right. Yum, I can't wait. We're happy to have you with us this morning. We hope you feel at home here at Evanston.
If you've ever wondered what your next steps might be to get connected at Evanston, we have a quick video to help you decide.
So check it out. Good morning, I'm Kaylee, and I'm so glad you're with us this morning. We hope you enjoy your time with us. And we hope that you leave here transformed, encouraged, and challenged. If you're wondering if there's something else for you, or you want to get more connected with us here at Evanston, then we have a few next steps you can take. If you're in 6th or 12th grade, your next step is to join Joy Upstairs for Hype. Every Sunday night at 6, the youth get together for worship, games, and fun. If you're in the 5th grade and below, we have Bible Times Club with Mr. Darren and his team. Check it out Sunday nights at 6 downstairs in the Fellowship Hall. If it's been a while since you were in the 12th grade, you can join the rest of us April 30th after church for tacos and tamales to find out how you can get connected. So no matter where you are, there's a next step for you, and we look forward to seeing you there.
So now that you know what your next step is, make sure you stay in the loop with our weekly events and activities.
To do that, look no further than your bulletin. It's full of information about our church that you might find handy.
In the bulletin, you'll also find our connection card. If you fill that out, we'll make sure that you stay up to date with all the things going on at the church.
You can also use that card to let us know if you need prayer or would like someone from the church to contact you.
So if you would please fill out that card and leave it on the pew when you leave, one of our amazing ushers will pick it up for you. Or if you're more of a techie, you can find an expanded calendar and connection form on our website.
The website is a great resource where you can find all the information you're looking for.
We also post inspiring articles and resources there a couple times a week.
Don't forget, if you want to go back and listen to a Sunday school lesson or sermon, you can do that too. We have an archive with the audio and the slides and so much more.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but before that, we do have a couple more important things to share with you.
Don't forget to head downstairs right after the service for our family Sunday Next Up Taco Dinner.
I can't wait. Whether you're a member or today is your first time with us, we'd love to have you join us for lunch. You don't want to miss it.
We also have an upcoming quarterly business meeting, so make sure you check your bulletin or the website for those details.
Kids, there is still time to talk to Joy to get in on the paintball retreat.
Well, now that we have you up to speed, it's time to grab a pencil and take out your Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you. Now here's Pastor Matt continuing our series, Animate.
Tacos!
Keith, wait up! Save some for me! Here's Pastor Matt.
All right, thanks, guys. And yes, of course, we have tacos downstairs after the service. It's our fellowship dinner. It's also our we do our some of our next step stuff there as well. Love for you to join us. It's also, for those of you who are voting members of our church, after the taco dinner, we are going to have our quarterly business meeting today after the service. So, yay! Tacos and business meeting. I know. But it's important for us to be good stewards of God's church that he's entrusted to us. So that's why every quarter we take some time and we discuss our business. We keep you guys up to date as to where we're at with everything. So if you're a member of the church, make sure you stick around after the meal. It'll be great. And if you're not a member of the church, here's my invitation. If you're new to Evanston Avenue Baptist, if you've just been hanging out for a little while and you want to get to know us and ask me or some of the elders some questions, what we do downstairs is there's a reserved table. And I just want to invite you, if you've been coming, basically since the last fellowship meal, if you've started coming to our church and just want to get to know us a little bit, why don't you join us there? It's at the front of the line. total shameless plug. But we just want to get to know you, hear your story, answer questions that you might have about Evanston, tell you a little bit about us. We're a wonderfully dysfunctional bunch of amazingly awesome people that I love so very, very much. Amen? And I really, truly do. I've been talking with other pastors, as always, and we all love our churches and all their quirkiness, and I really, truly love you guys and this opportunity that we have to be together. So the ushers are coming forward. I'm going to pray for our offering, and I want to invite you, if you are a big person who takes notes, there's a note sheet in your bulletin that you can take out. If you're a little person, you're welcome to doodle, but let me pray right now. Father, we love you, we praise you, we bless your name for all that you have lavished upon us. We thank you for the gifts that we have been given. And Father, right now we ask that you receive what we have given in the spirit with which we have provided it. Father, we ask that you take our gifts and that you use them to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and also around the world. Father, as we turn our attention to your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit continue to breathe life into us through your word. Lord, may we understand how to live the life that you're calling us to. So, Father, as the pastor, I ask that my words fall to the ground. Father, I ask that every word that is from you would endure forever and change our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you guys. So we're going to get into God's Word here in just a minute. Now, for those of you that missed it last week, we just started a new series called Animate. And animate, the word animate, you think of a drawing, but ultimately why they call it animation is something is coming to life. To animate something is to give it life. And so we are looking at how does God's Word give us spiritual life? It's kind of an important question. Now, last week we talked about, you know, one of the reasons that God made us, one of the big reasons God made us, is so that we could rest with Him. We could just enjoy a relationship with Him that was peaceful and restful and stress-free. And that's what He wants. He wants us just to be with Him. We lost that rest because of our sin, but through Jesus Christ, we can have that restful relationship again. We get it now in this life a little bit, and of course we get it in heaven permanently when we get there. So that's what really God's created us for, is to rest with Him. Yay! How cool is that? Now today we're going to be handling a little bit of a different subject, but in order to do that, I need to tell you guys a little bit of a story. It's a personal story, and yes, it is true. So here we go. Just need to jump into this. When I was a young lad, 30-some years ago, I was like 8 or 9 or so, maybe. I was under 10 for sure. And my mother, whom I love, was truly, honestly, deeply concerned about my physical well-being. Because she would watch me playing with other kids, and she noticed that I never ran as fast as the other kids ran. And when I did play, when we were running and being crazy and all that, I never could keep up with the other kids. I would get tired really fast, and I just never had a whole lot of energy. And my mom, I think she saw a show or something on TV, and she started to freak out, and she's thinking, maybe there's something really wrong with Matt. And she started to worry that I might have like a degenerative muscle condition. I don't know what made her think of that, but that's what her brain went to. And so she's like, man, we got to get this tested. We got to find out if Matt has this degenerative muscle thing. Like my muscles aren't working right. So of course, if you think something's wrong medically, where do you go? Who loves to go to the doctor? Can I see a show of hands? Who really loves it? Like, yay, I want a shot right now. Okay, me and Casey, that's it. Oh, a couple in the back, very good. See, the kids are all saying yes because they get out of school. That's a good thing about going. That's a good thing about going to the doctor. We get out of school for a little while. Now, for me, of course, I got out of school. Awesome. Ready to get my sticker. That'd be great. But we had to go to the doctor's office, and I had to have a test performed. And the doctor tells me, Matt, we're going to probe your muscles. Now, I don't know if you realize this, kids especially, but your muscles, they're on the inside. How do you probe them? Oh, he answered that question. The doctor pulled out a needle. Okay, probably more like this. And it has some wires attached to one end of it. And the doctor says the following. He says, Matt, we're going to very gently stick that needle into some of your muscles. We're going to start with the big muscle in your leg. And we're going to stick that needle in there. And then we're going to zap fry you with some electricity. We're going to pulsate electricity through your leg. What he didn't tell me later is that, after the poke, after the zap, then he would start turning it around in a circle. Yeah, and he said this. The doctor said, don't worry, this won't hurt much. as he's coming out with these huge needles. He said, don't worry, it won't hurt much. When he jabbed that needle in my leg, I screamed so loudly like he had to stop and go close all the doors of the office so that the people in the waiting room would not freak out. Now, and there's good news and bad news to this. In all honesty, I know you guys are wondering, what's wrong with me? You've been wondering for some time. But the doctor did come up with a diagnosis. Okay, he did. He came up with a diagnosis. He sat my mother down, did the whole doctor thing. He looks at her and he said, Mr. Sharp, I need to understand you, but I'm going to diagnose your son with a clinical case of laziness. There is nothing wrong with that child. He just likes to sit on the couch eating snacks and watching cartoons. That's all he does. If you really want to fix it, the prescription is turn off the TV and kick him outside. It worked. It was amazing. It was awesome. By the way, total side note, this same horrific condition afflicts thousands of children on a weekly basis, though today it looks a little different. By the way, if you're looking at this kid going, he's onto something, it may be you. But now, of course, you know, I had to get my leg, and basically started with my leg, and then he did my arm, then he did my stomach. He poked all these muscles. And the reason I had to endure this was so that before the doctor could ever say medically that everything was okay, he had to diagnose me. He needed to get information. Our information, yeah, that's what is needed in order to make a diagnosis. We needed information. And so then, of course, he was able to say, Mr. Sharp, your kid is nothing wrong. He's just, he likes the couch. You should fix that. And I bring all that up today because as I'm talking about living a spiritually animated life, to have the life of God pulsating through every part of my being, I wanted us to spend some time, and today we're going to do a little bit of diagnosing today. You see, God actually gave us a tool to help us diagnose, and I think it's important that we do that, you see, and here's why. What I've discovered in my life, and what I've discovered through reading the Bible, is that it is possible for people to think that they are living a spiritually animated life, and yet they aren't. It is possible. And so I'm going to actually invite a friend of mine. I'm going to invite Casey, if you want to come up here, young sir. And I'm just going to point to one passage of Scripture very, very quickly. And I'm going to ask my friend Casey, he's going to read this for us real quick. All right, brother. Let's see, we need to get you a microphone, so... here you go. Okay. All right, go ahead and stand right there. We're gonna put this one around your ear. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, say hi.
Hi.
Okay, everyone, if you want to... Oh, sorry. Everyone, if you want to join us, turn to Luke 18 in your Bibles, please. Okay, there you go, bud. Okay, now what you do is you wait, because you can hear people turning pages. Okay, so you got to wait, because they got to be there with you. Yeah, we're going to start right there, and we're just going to read up to there. All right? Cool. Casey's one of our very cool kids. He hangs out with us in Sunday school. He hangs out with us in Bible Times Club. He lives across the street. What's that? He's a hype kid. He's awesome. He's more aware of life than the pastor is. Everybody looks young to me. Wow. Okay, so then after you say something embarrassing, you have to put in a joke. So then, yeah. Okay. Do you hear pages turning? Okay, I think we got it. All right, so why don't you start reading? You're going to read at verse 9, and you're going to read through there, okay? Go ahead, buddy.
All right. To some who were confident their own righteousness, he looked down on everybody else. Jesus told this parable. Yeah. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not adulterers, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get.
All right, thank you. We're going to stop right there, buddy. Good job. I'm going to take this back. Can you please give this guy a hand for being willing to read Scripture for us? All right, thanks. All right. So yeah, Jesus is telling a story, and he's telling this story about two people. I kind of put like a picture of what they might look like. The Pharisee is the guy on this side with kind of the funny thing on his head. And for those of you who have been here before, you've heard me talk about the Pharisees. They were religious leaders. They thought they were living a spiritually alive life. They thought they were figuring it out. And if you read this passage, this Pharisee is standing up saying, "Thank you, God, that I have spiritual life." That'd be my summary of it. And he was saying that he had spiritual life because he went to the right church, because he was praying the right prayers, because he was doing all the right religious things. And he was assuming, "I must be living a spiritually good life. Look at all that I'm doing." But the next part of this parable, and I would invite you to read it, write it down in your notes, Luke 18, 9 to 14. You realize that the tax collector, he was the bad guy in this story, remember? He was the thief, he was the liar, he was the scum of the earth. And listen, I just got to read it. You listen to this. "But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. He beat on his chest and he said, 'God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner.' And Jesus' response is, 'I tell you, this man, the tax collector, rather than the other man, went home justified before God.'" So this guy over here, he's thinking, "I'm living the spiritual life. I'm animated by God. Look at all the things I'm doing." And Jesus is saying he missed it completely. He wasn't even close. The other guy, the scum of the earth guy, that's the one that Jesus was going, "Attaboy." And so the question for us would be, how do we, in this day and age, how can we tell, how can we diagnose if we are truly living a spiritually animated life? How can we really really tell if God's Holy Spirit and His Word are living in us? Or are we just becoming the Pharisee who assumes, "I'm doing all the right things at all the right places at all the right times so everyone can see I must be doing well"? Well, I got to tell you something. God actually gave us a great diagnostic tool in His Word. In the Bible, there's a great diagnostic tool. We're going to use it. And here it is. So you got to be careful when you do that. I did that with a pear in the kitchen, and went poof. And my wife said, "I hope that didn't blow up all over the floor." I'm like, "Nope, it didn't. Don't worry, we're fine. I got it." You got to be careful with that. But God gave us a remarkable diagnostic tool in fruit. You see, the fruit is the result. The fruit is the result. And we need to have this firmly locked in our minds. This, I cannot go out into my backyard, stick my hand into the dirt, and pull out a grapefruit. I cannot. In part because I think it's too cold in Michigan to get this kind of fruit. But the fruit is the result of something else. If I'm in the right climate and I put the right seed in the soil and I water it and I feed it and I give it sunlight and then the plant or the tree, these things come in trees or plants? Trees, thank you. I probably won't have one in my backyard. I don't know what it comes from. You know, but this thing grows and then the result of that is the fruit. And how do I know what kind of tree is growing in my backyard? What kind of fruit does it produce? And so God gives us this amazing diagnostic tool that we can look at. We can look at the fruit of our life and be able to tell, am I truly living a spiritually alive relationship with God? Am I living the animated life? And the key is in our fruit. So I want to invite you to flip over a couple of pages, please, to Galatians chapter 5. You've heard us singing about it. You can probably tell by all the awesome songs that we're talking about fruit today. Good stuff. And while you guys are turning pages, let me just say, isn't it so great to have our young people here today in service? We normally send them downstairs, and that's great. We want them to learn God's Word at their level. But here's the thing, guys. Here's why we do Family Sundays. Two reasons. The little reason is so that all of our amazing volunteers can get a Sunday off. Amen? Amen. Got to be able to get here and enjoy a service. But the bigger reason is this. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." They are a part of our body. They are a part of our family here. And we never want them to think that they're second-class citizens because we keep kicking them into the basement. We want them to learn and to be part and to know that there are tons of people here, all of us, that are praying for them and encouraging them and loving on them and all that stuff. So that's why we're here, so that they can know they're a part of your church, because it's their church too. Amen? Amen. It is our church. Well, actually, that's wrong, isn't it? It's not our church. Wow. Nobody disagreed with me on that one. It's not our church, is it? Whose church is this? Amen. We never forget that. This is God's house, and his kids are welcome. Amen?
Amen?
That's where we stand. So I'm so thrilled that they're here for lots of reasons. All right, we're going to be in Galatians 5. And ultimately, here's the deal, guys. As far as your life is concerned, spiritually speaking, there are only two kinds of fruit. And two kinds of fruit only. Let's read this. Galatians 5, starting at verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Some of your Bibles will say flesh, the desires of the flesh. Same thing. And so what I want you to understand is that this is setting up that there's a battle, there's a tension going on inside of us between the Spirit, which is God's Holy Spirit at work in my life as a believer. The Bible teaches us that we are temples. If we believe in Jesus, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and he lives inside of us. So there's the Holy Spirit on the one side, and then there's the flesh, or my sinful nature, on the other side. And when the Bible says flesh, it's referring to my old way of life. Before I met Jesus, before I had the Holy Spirit in me, my sinful nature is everything that desires what is different from God. My sinful nature desires what will pull me away from my relationship with God. And if you're a believer, you have that battle going on inside you. Sometimes it's huge and you can see the battle. Sometimes it's just little. But for all of us, we have to be aware of the tension between my old way of living sinfully and my new way of living through the Spirit. And as long as we have the Spirit, if that's how we're living, if that's what's giving us life, then we will produce the right kind of fruit. But let's go on. Okay, so there's this tension. Verse 17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. So again, there's the battle. My selfish, fleshly nature wants me to go this way, away from God, and do whatever I want. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is in me, pulling me and calling me to walk closely with God himself. So there's a tension going on between us. All right, they are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. So here's, check this out, here it is. The act, another word for that would be fruit. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and a whole bunch of other stuff. If you're reading along with me, you know which words I skipped. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So my friends, the one type of fruit that we can have in our life is bad spiritual fruit. Bad spiritual fruit. And that comes from the acts of the sinful nature. And it makes it clear what this is. What's producing this bad fruit in our lives? There's all these different things that we're capable of doing. Now, I don't want to go through each of these areas of bad spiritual fruit producers. What I want to do is I want to give you a couple of categories, and we're going to move on to the good stuff. Is that all right? Good, because that's what we're doing anyway. What you can see is that all of these things, all these fruits of the sinful nature, these acts of the sinful nature, they can be categorized in, I think, probably more or less, but I usually look at four different categories. Okay, the first are impurity sins. And so if you look at verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, immorality, impurity, and debauchery. That's referring to sins where we are doing something to our own body that is impure in God's eyes. There's a whole bunch of sins that fit into that category. I would probably not hesitate to include Twinkies in there somewhere if we eat too many of them. But these are the things that we do to our own body that make us impure. There's a bunch of them. Go ahead and read the list. The other one, the other category, is religious sins. And the Bible specifically mentions idolatry and witchcraft. Check out the beginning of verse 20. Idolatry and witchcraft. Those are right there, right? And now you may be thinking, I grew up in a Christian home, grew up in a Catholic home. We didn't really do idolatry. We didn't really practice witchcraft. That's wonderful. But can I just kind of throw a little spiritual grenade out there and let it detonate later in your life? Would that be okay? Good, because I'm going to do it anyway. Write down in your notes, please, 1 Samuel 15:23. And before we start going, hey, I've never practiced witchcraft, I've never done idolatry. When you go to that passage, part of what it says is that rebellion is the same sin as witchcraft. Have you ever rebelled against your parents, your employer, your spouse, governmental authorities, church authorities, or anyone else that has a rightful authority of your life? If you've rebelled against them, guess what? That would be all of us. Whenever the Bible throws something at you, don't be too quick to dismiss it. Check that out. So there's also, just to keep moving through, there's also mastery sins. And at the end of that section, you read about drunkenness and things like that. Drunkenness or addiction would be a mastery sin, where I am putting something into my body that gives that thing mastery over my life. So addictions, drunkenness, those would be mastery sins, where I'm taking Jesus off the throne and I'm putting something or someone else there that controls my life, often against my will. Okay? And then the last category, social sins. I don't know if you looked at this list. I mean, there's some really bad things on there, aren't there? But did you notice that the social sins, things like hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, and factions, are listed in the same category as drunkenness and witchcraft? And if there's anything else we should notice, is that the social sins, how we treat each other. To hate someone literally means to treat them like an enemy. To have discord means that no matter what I do, I'm finding fault with everything that person is doing. That's discord. Jesus says that's the same sin as witchcraft. So this huge category of social sins, that's all part of it. That's a big deal in God's eyes. And so for us, if we start looking at this and we start going, man, I think I might have a few of these in my life. What do we do with that? Keep listening. Because what God's word is also going to do is it's going to make a comparison. And this is all kind of lifted up as here's the bad spiritual fruit. Here's the bad stuff. This is what we want to get out of our lives. Okay? And God's word will teach us how to do that in just a moment. But before we do that, as we're looking at the bad spiritual fruit, of course, we must look at what the good spiritual fruit is. And that comes in the very next section of this text, of course, a very familiar passage. But, and I love it when God's word puts a but or in contrast to, because you know, these kind of making a comparison. Here's the bad spiritual fruit, here's the good spiritual fruit. Here it comes. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, can I point something out to you real quick? I know you're waiting for me to get to the list. I know, just shh. I know that none of us likes grammar in school, amen? How many fruits are there? One. Look carefully at the word. The fruit. It's not fruits. There is one fruit of the Spirit. And it shows up this way. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If the fruit is growing, all that stuff in my life is going to be getting bigger. Amen? If I am living the spiritually animated life, I should be able to look at my life and see all of those things increasing. And I want to spend a little bit of time with this awesome and amazing list, just a couple of minutes. I want to unpack this for you guys, because sometimes we get things wrong when we start using our definition of love. I mean, love is a word that we've tortured relentlessly in our language. But I just want to make sure we understand what some of the biblical definitions of these words are. And this becomes part of our diagnosis. If you can see these things increasing in your life, then you have really good evidence that you are bearing good spiritual fruit, and you are living a godly, animated life. So here it is. First of all, love. We've talked about this several times, but the word for love is agape. Agape is called the unconditional love. Agape is unconditional love. Actually, what the Greek word means is that I am giving myself over to something. So when God has agape love for us, he is giving himself over to us 100%. When I love my wife, I am giving myself to her 100%. And that's what makes it unconditional. When I say I agape love you, it doesn't matter what you do. I am choosing to love you regardless. That's the love we're talking about. And so when we as Christians say that I have love for you as a brother in Christ, we're supposed to be saying this kind of agape love where I am giving myself to you as a brother in Christ to say I love you. And whatever you do in return, I will choose to continue loving you. That's a love with no strings attached. They don't have a lot of this love in this world. That's why we need to be really good at that kind of love. Next one, joy. I love this one. This one is fantastic. The biblical definition of joy means to show delight in a way that is visible to everyone. Joy on the inside. Do you know what that means, to be joyful on the inside? Nothing. To be joyful on the inside means you're not joyful. That's why I love having the kids here. They're joyful, amen? I may show my joy a little differently than they do at my age. The whole jumping thing, yeah, ouch. Ow, that's all I'm saying. I'm young enough to still do silly things. I'm just old enough to really hurt the next day. But joy has to be visible. If it's not visible, it's not joy, according to Scripture. If people cannot look at you, and I'm not saying you got to jump around and be, you know, Mr. Rogers all the time. I'm not saying that. You're welcome, Sunday school. What I am saying, though, is that when people are around you, they have to know something is different. That's something that you have a joy that cannot be explained, and they need to be able to see it. And if they can't, it's not there. Joy must be visible. The next one, of course, is peace. And peace does not just mean the absence of conflict. Peace actually means, the biblical term for peace in the Old Testament is shalom. But peace literally means wholeness of relationship. Wholeness of relationship. Isn't that a great word? Or a great meaning? If everything is well between me and another person, our relationship is whole. I can come into the room where they're at. It's just like, hey, it's so good to see you. I'm just going to sit down and watch TV. I don't need to impress you. I don't need to hang out with you. I don't need to apologize for anything. We can just be together and it's okay. Peace means the relationship is whole, especially our relationship with God. Now, for the kids and for us who once were younger kids, you could tell when the peace wasn't there, right? Anybody ever walk in and just know mom's upset? Or dad's upset. We didn't have to see anything. There's just like a cold front kind of blowing in from the living room. Our relationship isn't whole right now. Not a lot of peace. And then, of course, my favorite one, because it's the one that is probably of the lowest category in my life, patience! I always think I'm doing well with patience, and then I use electronic devices. Ends badly at that point. The actual old word for patience is probably the most accurate. Long-suffering. Do you know what this means? Long-suffering means that you put up with things and you put up with people that you do not like. That's what long-suffering. I put up with things and I put up with people and I put up with situations that I do not like. Why? Because my love for God and my love for that annoying person is far greater than my love for myself. See, I don't know if you catch this as I'm going through. All of these fruits are ultimately outward focused. Where I'm showing love to God and love to other people. I'm expressing my joy in a way that is visible to the world around us. The people around me can tell that I have peace in my heart, even when life falls apart. That I have peace. People can tell that I'm patient because I put up with their garbage longer than I should sometimes. Because my love for that person, my love for that thing, that situation, is greater than my love for myself. Because can I boil the fruit down on both sides real easy, real simple? Bad spiritual fruit is all about me. Bad spiritual fruit, the sinful things, all boils down to me wanting what I want and getting it the way I see fit, and I'm not leaning on God's Holy Spirit to get it. And then we have rage, we have division, we have all those things. When I'm not leaning on the Spirit, I'm relying on my old sinful self, and it's selfish, it's all about me. The fruit of the Spirit is all about me showing love to someone else. It's all about God and others, and I'm like not even in the picture. That's where the fruit of the Spirit is going. And if you scroll all the way down to the end, self-control. The Greek word for self-control literally means mastering our passions and our desires. Self-control, the fruit of the Spirit that says, the part of the fruit of the Spirit that says self-control, says I'm going to voluntarily put my desires on hold to serve you. Because I love you that much. How different would our world be if we had more people living with the fruit of the Spirit evident in every part of their life? And so, my friends, the question would be, how do we get this fruit? How do we get less of the bad fruit? The answer is found in the remainder of the text. Please join me again in Galatians 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful desires, the sinful nature with its passions and desires. My friends, can I just tell you this? I don't know how long you've been a Christian. If you've been a Christian for one day in this church, if you've been a Christian and been in church long, you've been alive. It doesn't matter. Here's what you need to hear. The spiritual battle is real. Our sinful nature does not die on its own. Just because I believe doesn't mean my sinful nature is gone. We have to have an intentional process. We have to do something. Well, that's not right either, is it? Jesus already did something. Look closely at the text. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. Jesus Christ was crucified. And all we need to do is take our old sinful nature and very intentionally put it up there on the cross with him. The biblical theological term for that is called repentance. How do we get from bad spiritual fruit to good spiritual fruit? The answer is we have to repent. Big spiritual word. What does it mean? It means to turn around and go the other direction. In every area of my life, I need to ask the Holy Spirit, I need to ask God, I need to consult His Word, and I need to say, Lord, what area of my life do I need to invite You into? What things do I need to repent from? And can I challenge you? Because I know there are people in this room that have been a Christian for a very, very, very long time. If there's nothing you need to repent from, it means you have no sin in your life. If anyone would like to go out on that limb and say, that's me, please come talk to me afterwards. Does anyone here have no sin? Check in. Okay, so it's all of us. That means all of us, as a regular part of our Christian animated spiritual life, we must regularly go through a process of repentance so we can get rid of the bad spiritual fruit and allow more of that good fruit to grow. Because check it out. Remember? This is the result. This isn't how we start. If I want to see more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, I don't do that. I don't do more love. I don't do more joy. I do the thing that produces the fruit. What produces the fruit is me repenting for my old life. And as I do that, and as I start putting away the things of the old nature, God starts producing different fruit. And this used to bug me. I used to beat myself up. I used to be going, man, I got to be way more self-controlled. I got to work on that. I got to self-control myself more. Yeah. My friends, that's a fruit. You don't get more self-control in your life by controlling yourself more. You get the fruit that includes self-control by repenting and living the spiritually animated life. That's the result, just so you know. So my invitation to you this morning is this. I want to invite you to have a personal practice of self-reflection. That does not mean stare at yourself in the mirror. Our children do that quite enough, amen? And they all look amazing, they look beautiful. But self-reflection is where you get alone and you spend some time with God. That's tough in this day and age. I mean, I'm usually never more than a foot or two away from my phone. There's email, there's phone calls, there's just people. But I want to invite you to engage in a personal practice of self-reflection. Very intentionally, get alone, you and God, someplace that's quiet. I'm not talking days on end. Just spend an hour. Spend half an hour. Grab a cup of coffee, piece of paper if you want to jot something down, and just ask God and just say, Lord, is there anything in my life that I need to repent from? That's it. I'm not asking you to do some crazy formula. I'm not asking you to dance around or stand on your head or anything like that. Could you just make yourself quiet for 30 minutes, an hour, sometime this week, right before bed, when you first get up, lunch break, whatever, you know your schedule, whatever works. Just spend 30 minutes, get alone with God, shut off the phone, shut everything else off, and just ask him this question. Ask it out loud. Lord, do I need to repent from anything? And then just wait. That's it. If the Lord has something for you in that moment, please trust him. He will let you know. You may get this, every time I do this, I'm thinking, my life's pretty good. Lord, is there anything I need to repent from? Whoa! Wow! I'm not asking that question again. My goodness. But just whatever God brings to your mind, just write it down. For some of you, if you can't do that, if you find it hard or whatever, get with a friend. Get with a godly friend, a brother or sister in Christ whose walk you admire, who you think pretty much lives the animated life, and ask them, like, hey, can you just help me with this? I want to have some quiet time. And if you still can't do it, give me a shout. I'll sit down. We can talk about some pointers and all that. But I just challenge you to spend 30 minutes personal reflection and just ask God, do I need to repent? And let him produce in you the fruit of the animated life. Let's pray. Well, Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for the opportunities that we have to bear fruit. Lord, we just recognize that no matter what we do, we bear fruit of some kind. And so, Father, we simply ask that we could continue to bear good fruit. Lord, I lift up to you my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, would you please give them the time that they need to just get alone with you and just to ask that question, Lord, is there anything I need to repent from? Is there anything I need to turn away from? And Lord, would you please go ahead of them? Would you meet them in that place? Holy Spirit, would you please just make their hearts tender that they can hear from you? And Lord, we just ask more than anything that we can be just bursting with more good spiritual fruit. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Kids, you guys did awesome. Thank you for hanging out with us, making some awesome artwork. You guys, thank you so much just for considering this. If you guys have any questions, I know that we're going to be heading down for taco dinner and all that, but if you do have any questions, I'll be up here as always after the service. You can grab me after dinner, whatever works. But for right now, we're going to worship God. I think we have one more song, maybe two, and then we're going to head downstairs. But would you guys please stand as we worship the Lord together?
Amen. God is good all the time. Amen.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Oh, for us he chose to die. Filled us with his Holy Spirit, now we can stand and testify. That is love, it's everlasting, and his mercy, they will never.
My friends, again, I want to invite you to just join us after this for just a time. If you're relatively new to this church and if you want to find out a little bit more about us, hear our story, we'd love to hear yours. I'm going to ask all of us at the front table, kind of closest to the drinks, you'll see when you get down there, want to make that a reserved table, you're welcome to hang out with me. If I'm all by myself, I'll recruit. It's all good. But just a chance to get to know everybody just a little bit better. Everyone's welcome. Members, stay afterwards. I think that's it by way of announcements, other than if you need prayer or if there's anything I can answer for you, be up here for just a couple of minutes. But now go with this blessing. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and in all things give you peace. Amen. We'll see you downstairs. Go in peace.